God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to feed us. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen our faith as we walk as his children here in the world is from Paul's letter to the book of Romans. Now you've got to get in your mindset about these Roman Christians, that they were in the catacombs of Rome. They were underneath the streets of Rome. That if they poked their head up, got out of those catacombs, they knew that they were going to be killed. They were going to be killed for their faith. So Paul is writing this letter to the book of Romans as a letter of strengthening. A letter of strengthening their faith. If you read chapter 7 and then go into chapter 8, you get really a feel of where these Roman Christians are coming from. The 7th chapter of the book of Romans is talking about the sin that remains in us, that we have this struggle. And in the 8th chapter, he writes about that therefore no one is condemned in Christ Jesus. And here in the 10th chapter, he's instructing them once again as he says to them, as he writes to them, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. But what does it mean? And that is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is through the heart that one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Such a wonderful text for us this morning, because we need to be reminded of our conviction. We need to be reminded as we believe in our heart that our mouth does speak that belief, that confession of Jesus as Lord. I want you to think about it. I don't want to take this analogy too far, but I want you to think about having an apple. And you look on that apple and you see a wormhole. We are inclined to think that a worm climbed on that apple and bore a hole to the core. But that's not it. That worm had laid its egg on the apple blossom. And so as the apple grew and flowered, became a fruit, that worm was already in the apple and it bore it whole out. I want you to think about that being your faith, that you have it in you. And all of a sudden you confess Jesus is Lord. Not just together in the Lord's Prayer, not just together in our confession of faith in the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, or if you've gone through the long, arduous Athanasian Creed on Holy Trinity Sunday, you are confessing that faith that came inside you. Bore its witness at your baptism. When the pastor said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, he claimed you. God claimed you as his child. As sinful as we are, as we commit those sins by our mouth and action, God still loves us. He tells us through Isaiah, fear not, for you are mine. And the Apostle Paul also writes that about that in the 14th chapter. He says, we live to the Lord. When we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Jesus is Lord. We confess that with our mouth. We tell others around us that Christ indeed is the one who lived, who suffered and died on our account, bore our sins on the cross. And he was bled out because of our sins. And he has redeemed us. So as Paul says, With the mouth you confess, with the heart you believe, in the mouth you confess, Jesus is Lord. And you will be saved. This is really at the heart of our life. Each of us makes that statement of belief and confession. It binds us together. We're family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Our belief binds us together. The Apostle Paul also enumerates that in his first letter to the Corinthians, at the 12th chapter, where he talks about the body being together. He talks about us being in the body. And he says, therefore, we rejoice. We weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. Because we're family, we're tied together. Our confession of Jesus as Lord binds us together. So when one member hurts, we all hurt. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. In the Bethany congregation in Lake City, Minnesota, there's one gal. One gal that is very precious. She was Miss Hockey last year. Taylor Heise. And you would think that because she excels in hockey, that that's her life. No, they go to church. She goes to church. It would be the family has this obligation and tenet that they will be in church every Sunday to confess Jesus as Lord and to share Jesus with each other. And it's amazing how God uses each and every one of us in that position as well to share Jesus with those around us. I may have used this illustration before, but sometimes when pastors sit in the midst of people, people kind of shun them. We were in International Falls, and Andrew was registering for hockey. And every year, they knew who I was. They'd sit around us, we'd talk, and everything else. And one day, I had a circuit meeting, I had a baptism, so I decided to stay in my clergy shirt, outfit, as President Woodford would say, our uniform. And we sat down, and nobody sat with us. Nobody talked with us. They all showed us. Sometimes that's what it is in the world. When people see you having a word of grace over your meals, they'll say, oh, we gotta stay away from that Christian. And there was a story I read about a young boy in Utah. Utah is a very Mormon community, as you know. This young boy is a Catholic boy. I read this on CNN yesterday. It was an amazing story, is that this young boy went to the Catholic Church on Ash Wednesday, and his parents told him all about the ashes, you know, you put on the head and everything. So he went to church that morning, had the ashes placed upon his forehead, went to the public school, and he figured that everyone would ask him what the ashes were for, and he would be able to tell them. Well, he gets to school, and his teacher said, go wash your face. That's very inappropriate. It happens to Christians to be told that we're inappropriate. The teacher and the school have thus also apologized for that action because the principal said that that teacher shouldn't have said that to the child. But that's what happens in the world when we say Jesus is Lord, when we stand before the street corners and before other people. We may have those trials and tribulations and difficulties, and yet the Lord is with us. The Lord guides us. The Lord puts the words in our mouth. The Lord teaches us about our confession of faith. And it's amazing, too, you know, when we have a letter like this, or rain or sun or whatever it is, and it's adverse, and you go into church, people will say, "Hey, pastor, did you order this?" And I'll say, "You know, you've got as many connections with the Lord as I do. That's because Jesus is Lord. He's still in us a confession of himself. He's still in us the ability and the strength to say Jesus is Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit." Sometimes we have difficulties. Oh, I shouldn't say sometimes. Sometimes our lives are a roller coaster. Or we go around the curve and there's another trial or another difficulty. We fail to realize that God is with us no matter what. That God walks with us no matter what happens to us and in our lives. God is there. He is strengthening us. He is calling us his child, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he tells us that he will give us strength to get through the difficult times, to get through the arduous times that we have in our life, to give us the power and the strength to reach out to others. You know people that are Christian in name only or in voice only. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to say, they want to say that, you know, with that church, it's institutional. My ex-daughter-in-law would say to me, "Well, what are you going to lecture on us tomorrow, Scott?" Didn't understand the church and the power and the strength that God has in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to you in word, in God's word. Yes, to convict you of the sin that you have committed in thought, word, and deed, because we are sinful. We hear God's word, we hear him forgive us our sins, and we go out and we do the same thing over again. And yet, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God tells us that we are his children and that he will forgive us no matter what. Time and time and time again. Jesus is Lord. And we say that by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Luther writes in the third explanation of the creed, "I cannot believe in or come to this Jesus except by the power of the Holy Spirit." And Paul also writes that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into us. The Holy Spirit is the one who enacts in us, and we are by the power of the Holy Spirit saying Jesus is Lord. In Christ's holy name.